Okay. The Pasuk tells us the famous line, Vayehev Yitzchak et Esav ki tzayid b'piv. Yitzchak loved Esav because his tzayid, his game, the stuff he captured, was in his mouth. Rivka habeses Yaakov. Rivka loved Yaakov. It says, Yitzchak loved Esav because he was a personality who entrapped with the words he said, and Rivka loved Yaakov. It's interesting.
This call will be recorded.
That the Torah expresses the reason why Yitzchak had this affinity towards Esav, but it doesn't say what was it that caused Rivka to appreciate Yaakov. But it would seem their motivations had to be different, or the Torah wouldn't contrasted it. So what does it mean when it says he was tzayid b'piv, that he basically spoke with a mode of entrapment, of being a hunter? Rashi said Esav had traps with everything he said. He would ask the fake halacha questions that we learned about earlier this week. Right? He would ask, you know, how do I do this? I think there's a chumra here I can do, etc. And is it possible that he really fooled Yitzchak? And many of the Mefarshim say, don't you think so? He says, we're talking about Yitzchak. We're not talking about a child. He says, the entire world would say, Esav HaRasha. Everybody knew who he was. We know, we will learn next week, that Leah cried over the possibility she might have to marry this wicked person. So how could Yitzchak have thought that he wasn't someone who was off the derech? Moreover, If Yitzchak had been so misguided, don't you think Rivka would have said, my dear Yitzchak, don't you realize who our oldest son is? And he quotes from the Penine HaTorah from David Hadad, who says, that's why we know when Yaakov came to basically get the brachas, right? He said, HaKoyo Kol Yaakov, the voice is Yaakov. You're mentioning God? Esav would never, ever think to juxtapose an action with Be'ezras Hashem or something like it. It's not in his lexicon. Penine HaTorah writes that we're being taught a lesson here. And he says it's a lesson to parents and to educators. And I guess from the days of Yitzchak on, there have always been those children who go OTD, off the derech. That's the way the world is. And the only way to deal with such a person is to maintain the relationship. You don't cut them off and say, okay, you're no longer my child. No. What you're supposed to do is make the greatest of effort to continue to show the love, the concern. And when they do something appropriate, you say, wow, that's a great thing you did. You keep encouraging as hard as it is. Esav had one mitzvah that he did to perfection. Kibbutz, the honor he gave to Yitzchak. It says he had special, quote, Shabbos clothing to wear in his father's presence. and he did other things, right, to basically honor his father. And it could well be that Yitzchak loved Esav. Yitzchak made a determined effort to show love to Esav so that maybe Esav would be encouraged by this to come back, to try to be a Baal Tshuva. And in his Sefer Shalom Rav, by Rosner writes about a tzaddik who had this problem, and he told people, yes, I'm trying to be especially kind and have a special concern for this child who's not doing what is appropriate. And he would talk to the kid, and then he would say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please, because this child needs it, please give me the help to be able to properly relate that I not be another reason that he says, okay, this Torah is not for me. We're also told, he says, that there's a time, and I can't remember, the Gemara in Shabbos, I guess, says, Hashem turned to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and he asked them each to defend the Klal Yisroel for whatever was wrong. And Avram said, I can't do it. They're not walking in my footsteps. And it seems Yaakov also said that. And Yitzchak said, of course we should forgive them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He began to beg the Ribbono Shel Olam to save Klal Yisrael. And he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're upset with your children, your child, B'ni Bechori Yisrael. Right? I was upset with my Bechor too. I had an Esav. But I didn't throw him away. I didn't try to expel him. I didn't try to destroy him. So if I, who am only a busser and dumb, I'm blood, I'm flesh and bones, if I'm able to have compassion for my child, how much more so do you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should show this compassion to Klal Yisroel and put up with whatever they're doing, show them love, and bring them back through love. And Rabbi Rosner, who's been a Rebbe for so many years, writes, it's probably one of the most important lessons that a machanech can have. To never turn a kid off. Don't act in anger, don't act, you know, based on the fact that you're disappointed, whatever. You've got to always turn to the kids, right, who are the most difficult and make extraordinary efforts. Yitzchak is called the one of the fathers who excelled in Gvura. Gvura would be what? Greatness? I don't know how you say it. Strength. With resilience. And when we look at the Chumash, we've got a number of parshas. Same Shoresh. We see there are many parshas dealing with Avram Avinu, right? There's a story after story. When we turn to Yaakov, we get Vayetze, Vayishlach, Vayigash, Viketz, Vayethi. Why is there so little written about Yitzchak? We don't have that many narratives, and we don't have that many, right, parshas involved. We're told that Yitzchak lived similarly to Avraham. He had to deal with famine. He had to look for food. His wife was captured by a king. We learn that Yitzchak once again digs the same well that Avram had dug and that the Pelishtim had stopped up. And even the Pasuk says to Yitzchak, because you've done everything that Avram did, that's why you're going to have extraordinary blessings. And was there anything novel that Yitzchak did? The Rambam, in the beginning of the halachas of Avodas Kachavim, idolatry, talks about paganism. He says that when Enosh walked the earth, people were still God believed. But then, somehow, they began to start to teach God's so-called servants as semi-gods, which became real gods. The sun, the moon, the stars, etc. And they became deities in their own. He says, people began to initiate. Right? They said, we know that we have better ways to honor the Almighty by giving tremendous deference to his servants, something they were told not to do, but they knew better. And eventually, they forgot God and got stuck with and believed that the subcategory of items were in fact the deities in the world. And this continues, we're told, until Avram Avinu comes on the scene. We're told that Avram Avinu, at age 3, began to wonder about things. We know how he thought it was the sun till it went down, then the moon, but the moon went down, etc. And he went through the various possibilities of what it is that governs our world. And he realized that with all the manifestations in the world, there's got to be an overall creator. Right? And Avraham Avinu became the father, again, of the belief in one HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one God. And Avraham Avinu became HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Navi. He went from place to place, and he taught people that there is one God Almighty who runs everything. And he tried to wean as many people as he could off paganism. Okay? And then the Rambam writes, Avram taught this belief to Yitzchak. Yitzchak sat and taught and reviewed this, and thereafter, Yitzchak transmitted this religion to Yaakov, who sat, studied it, whatever action it was to become a bucky in it, an expert, and then he was able to pass it on to the 12 sons, who were the forerunners of the nation. He says, if you look at the words in the Rambam, there's 5 words, and that's it. That's what it says about Yitzchak. Right? And the Rambam doesn't go with further detail, and he says, this is Rabbi Rosner speaking, of course, that this is very much the pattern we see in learning Chumash. There's a shortage of wording, a shortage of narrative dealing with Yitzhak. He says, I want to tell you an idea I heard from Rav Yaakov Maidan. And he says, we're going to go back again for the third, fourth time this week to that loaded pasuk. Eila told us, Yitzchak ben Avraham, Avraham ha'ilidus. Yitzchak, the two mentions of the relationship of Avram and Yitzchak. And we talked about Rashi talking about the redundancy. They looked alike. Right? But... yeah, but panim, besides meaning the face of a person, right, it also means the panimiyah, the inside, the essence, right, the meaning of an individual. Avram Avinu was the innovator. He was a revolutionary who started one God religion. And his life was constantly involved in this type of innovation, teaching one after another what it means that there's one God. He was the first person called the Ish HaChesed, the person who personified reaching out and helping others. Avram went out and spread his message wherever he could. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose Avraham to be his spokesperson to spread the notion of Manah, right? There's one God in the world. And Rav Medan says, okay, people often start movements, but they don't become legacies necessarily. You get an innovator, and after he's gone, it dissipates. He said, how does any real notion take root? It needs time. The same way you can't put a seed in the earth and see anything until it grows roots. The second generation of any movement has got to be a group of people who try not to innovate. What they're doing is they are saying, we need to follow perfectly that which our leader did. We need to protect every notion and every nuance. That was Yitzchak Avinu's task. Then, after the roots are in the ground, so to speak, we can have a third generation that can begin to add to the concepts, that can say, my Zeta Avram Avinu taught, and I think it means this. Here's a pshat. I think it makes sense. I think it's in congruence with what he said. He says, at that point, we can start to have what he calls branches growing, using the analogy of a tree, and each branch can grow its own leaves. It can spread out. He said, the natural tendency of any person is to want to innovate. That's one of the life forces we have. We want to have something. We would like to have a distinct item to be what we've left in this world. What was the Gevura, the greatness of Yitzchak? I'm not going to innovate. I am going to basically suppress my innate desire to innovate. And we can imagine, if he was one of the Avos, how many thoughts he could have had. No. I've got to make sure that what my father Avraham did takes root. I've got to give the same drushes. I got to say the same things so that people realize it's lasting, it's standing, it can continue. I've got to let it, right, take root and continue with, say, water it and nourish it. Now, with the plant, we give it water, we give it additives, etc. Yitzchak's whole purpose was to repeat what Avram Avinu did and solidify it in the world. And that's what the Torah says. Yitzchak was the perfect person to grow the religion, to sustain the religion, to make sure the religion could pass generation to generation. Avraham was chesed, right? He attracted people, maybe primarily because he showed his loving kindness to all. He didn't walk up to somebody and say, hey, I got to tell you about the one God. He would say, oh, I see you're hungry. Here, let me give you something to eat. Oh, I think you're tired. Please, I have room for you to rest. And then when they came time to thank him, he would say, no, 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 you don't thank me. You thank the Rabbeinu Shalom. God does all. Yitzchak did the exact same thing. That was his purpose. Yitzchak conquered his personal desires, his personal, you would say, you know, life force in some ways, to continue and do what's good for the creation of Klal Yisroel, to make sure the nation, the religion, and everything around it would take root. And that's why the Rambam doesn't say that much. Because in what he doesn't say, he says a world. He says the perfect reviewer, the perfect sustainer was Yitzchak Avinu, and that was his Dror. That was a great thing he did. Did Yitzchak learn with Yaakov? It says he, that's what he wrote. He wrote that Yitzchak, right? The Rambam writes that. Here. Rambam writes, Vayeshev Yitzchak Hidea Liyakov Uminehu Lilmoid. Yitzchak transmitted to Yaakov, and after he had that transmission from his father, when he had down perfectly that which Yitzchak taught him, then he could sit, right, review, become capable of teaching, and then he replicated this by doing this with the 12 Shvatim. Okay? So, yeah, Yitzchak learned with Yaakov. And so the whole notion that, okay, did Yitzchak Avinu not know who Yaakov was? Right. He knew who Yaakov was. He learned with him. Maybe he was his, you know, his Talmud Muvot for all we, right, for all we know. But, as we said earlier, he knew that Esav had problems. And he knew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't give him an Esav except for the purpose of him trying to better Esav. He didn't say, okay, I've been given a failed child and I walk away. That's not what he did. He used his love to try to bring him back. You know? And he said, that's the interesting thing. He dealt, you might, I mean, I know many people say that was one of the reasons that they went to the same school, and that therefore you couldn't put Esav in Yaakov's mold. You couldn't put him in the same base medrash. It didn't work. So I'm going to posit, maybe that was step one, but when Yitzchak probably realized that the chinuch for Yaakov could not work for Esav, being the brilliant person he was. He said, okay, I now have got to devise a strategy to encourage Asa. But yeah, so he loved him. He showed him love and respect. He complimented him on everything he did. And in that way, he could attempt to encourage him to be better.
Asa was Jewish.
Huh?
Asa was Jewish.
Yeah, Asa was Jewish. No question, huh?
They say that the Yitzchak wanted Esav and Yaakov to be partners.
Right. Yeah.
Life.
Yeah. What Yitzchak wanted was Esav and Yaakov should be Yisachar's ruler. Esav should be the businessman supporting the Torah part of the nation. That right? That Esav should be part of Klal Yisroel. That's what he wanted.
Right.
Yeah. But the elementary, you know, the way we teach us in elementary school, that Yitzchak was fooled, obviously that doesn't make any sense. And that was a point of today's fear, that Yitzchak knew exactly what was going on.
Are we still on? No? Okay.
This call is no longer being recorded.